home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Rated G Radio. This is the first show of the week because last night I was at a special event. We'll talk about that in just a second. Today we're going to be welcoming Larry Porcelli. He is the one of the key members of SCWA, Southern California Writers Association. He's also an active member of Lit Up in Orange County, and he is a master storyteller. We'll welcome Larry to the show in just a couple of minutes. Here's a rundown for the week, folks. So if you're keeping tabs on when you want to tune in and check in what's going to be going on for the week, you know what's going on. Tomorrow at 8 a.m., we've got Rebecca Fisk, one of America's top 50 psychics. She is going to be joining us for her hour. And I will always tell you as a secret ahead of time, call in 15 minutes before the show starts because, well, you know, the phone lines light up like, you know, it's going out of style. So if you want to get your question answered, you need to call in early, because if you don't call in early, we just won't get to you because the average call lasts a few minutes. Rebecca does a little intro at the beginning. And so out of the hundreds of people that call in every month when she's on, we get to a handful. So there's your little secret for the day. If you don't listen all the time, now is the time to make a note. Tomorrow at 8 a.m., Rebecca Fisk is going to be live with us. And the phone line's open at 7:45. So call in early if you can and do that. Thursday, we've got Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host Rob Watson. He's got a great guest lined up. And he told me who the guest was last night. It is going to be Mr. Preston Grant, and he's the author of Gay Explained. Well, that's going to be interesting because now I'll understand it. So that will be kind of fun to have him on. So we're going to have, we're going to have him on Thursday night show. That'll be live at 7. And then Friday, and I'm still trying to figure out the time. I know I talked to the artist about this some time ago, clear back in May, but we've exchanged emails back and forth because, you know, life happens and, you know, jobs and things like that you got to take care of. We are going to have Cody Harris. Cody is a rapper. Yes, you heard that right. Cody is a rapper who I met at the Academia Music Awards back in April, and Cody was there to pick up an award for a song that he did. He's based out of Phoenix, Arizona. And so we were in the red carpet line together, and I said, "What are you doing here?" And so he's telling me, and I said, "Well, we need to get you on the show, especially because, you know, he's out of Phoenix. He's, you know, somebody we need to have on here." So Cody's going to be our guest on Friday. I think the show is probably going to be going on at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't know that for sure because I'd asked him, I said, "Do you want to do the show in the morning?" And we'd had conversations about that, but we're still locking in the time. So I'll post that on Facebook as soon as I can. That's one of the things that I like about this blog talk format. We can do the show anytime, and you can listen anytime that's convenient for you. However, not really a however, but however, you can also get the show on, you know, on demand and listen live and in Technicolor when you follow the program. And when you follow the program, you'll get an email or text update that will let you be notified when the show is going live. And I think that's always important for you to do because it is, it's sometimes 8 o'clock in the morning doesn't work for you. Sometimes 5 o'clock doesn't work for you. Sometimes whatever doesn't work, but at least you know what the link is. And why that's important is because every show is recorded individually and it needs its own identifier. So if you want to go back and listen in the archives, which so many of you do, you have that opportunity to easily find it. If you want to go listen to, you know, Rebecca or, you know, Rated LGBT Radio or our special we did the last Saturday, Super Gay Radio, then, you know, you can easily find that. The other thing that I will also tell you, which is super cool, is that Rated G Radio is on iTunes. They catalog the most recent 300 episodes for you to download. Now, I'm sure all of you are going to race out and get all 300 episodes because you have nothing else to do with your day except listen to the show, which would really be, you know, fantastic. But, you know, let's get real, folks. However, if you want to take all 300 episodes, you totally could do that and then just listen to them at your leisure. Here's also something I like about that. You can fast forward. You can rewind. You can play it again and again and again. And you should. So if you want to go and listen to the show on iTunes, you can do that as well. So here are some things that have been going on. As you all know, I am looking for a new day job. Or, you know, I say a day job. It could be a night job or, you know, weekend job or an afternoon job. I'm just looking for something that has regular income that's coming in. But one of the projects that I've been doing on the side lately that I've really developed a hankering for, and I love it, is doing website design. And because, you know, I think what happened, I'm going to tell you the story. So here's how this all started, folks. Several months ago, I'd done a kind of a revamp on my website. And you know, I use Wix.com for everything that I do. So, you know, the secret's out. There we go. And I had my record label take a look at what I did because I was like, you know, I got it all fancy and did all of this stuff. And it was like, well, that's fine. However, and so, you know, the young whippersnapper that runs the label, he says, you know, here are like 10 things that you can do to, you know, spice up your life on your website. So I said, okay, talk slower because I'm writing them all down. And so I went and, you know, pretty much followed as many of them as I could, just, you know, within the scope of things, because you can only do so many things before it looks like, okay, you know, we're overdoing it here. And my big challenge is that I love to do so many different things that, and I don't want to have a different brand or a different web presence for all the things that I do, from photography to, you know, singing to the radio show to acting to, you know, whatever, you know, I want to have it kind of all in one depository, GarrettMiller.com, shameless plug. But when I got the site done, I started, you know, I asked the label, what do you think? And they said, oh my God, this is great. This is exactly what you need to do for, you know, for now. And then I started talking to other folks about what they would like to, you know, what would you like to see? And I started getting comments of, that's really cool. And I'm like, well, I could do this for you if you would like it. What do you think? And so I've done, I don't know, about a half a dozen sites for folks. And the comments that I get back consistently is, A, I got new clients immediately, or they love the site, or because of, you know, the marketing presence that you've created, you know, I'm getting more traffic, it's search engine optimized, it's all these great things. And I'm going, well, I loved doing that. I should do more. So I've been putting the word out to folks. I said, if you need help with either dusting off an old website, or if you're, you know, trying to figure out a brand for the first time, I'd love to help you because I love marketing and I love, you know, photography, and I love doing all these things. So I'm just kind of like molding all of these things into a nice, neat little package. And so I've had the pleasure of working with an author out of the Ventura area of California, Mr. Craig Campobasso. You'll see that, you know, we're on Facebook, and so it's not like, you know, just out of the blue. But he said, you know, but if you want to take a stab at doing something for me, yeah, that'd be great. So I've redone his author website, which is autobiographiesofanet.com, autobiographiesofanet.com. And when I got that in, and we, you know, sat down and I did like a development meeting, and we kind of storyboarded what he wanted to have done, you know, and a couple hours later we came away with a game plan. And that's, you know, the big thing is I don't want to just say, well, here's my vision for what you want to do. I want to be able to say, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to create? And then, you know, let me make it like magical for you. So had a great meeting. And at the end of that, we ended up doing three sites. We have one for autobiographiesofanet.com. Again, shameless plugs all the way. But he's got a short feature film, or a short film, I guess it's how you technically call it, called Strangers at the Pentagon. It's won some awards, and there's a book, and the DVD, and he, you know, goes through all this stuff. And I just finished revamping that. And he's also a casting director. So I've done three sites for him. The last two, Stranger at the Pentagon and his casting website, CraigCampobasso.com, they're not live yet, but I've got the work completed. And I've transferred the casting site over to him. So it's just a matter of him getting it published. But I really, really am excited for you to see that. What does all of this mean? It means that while I'm looking for a day job, that I am now actively campaigning for, you know, web design and photography jobs, because I love to do it. It is so much fun for me. And I'm going to meet, I've got another client that I'm bringing on board this week. I have another client that I met with last week. I'm doing two sites for her. We're creating a brand from scratch. And then I've got two photography clients this week. So it's one of these opportunities to, you know, do something that's fun, that it fills me with passion and excitement while I'm, you know, out looking for the other things. So if you are looking for a web, you know, redesign, a relaunch, a refresher, or just want me to take a look at stuff, let me know. I will tell you also, I've been approached by people saying, you know, can you take a look at my website and what would you recommend? And I've had, I don't know, three or four of those in the last couple of weeks. And I go and take a look at what they've either done from a corporate standpoint, because I've had some companies contact me also. And, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody, hey, you need to have my service if you don't need my service, because there's nothing worse than, you know, selling something that you don't need to be selling. And plus, I'd rather, you know, create goodwill down the road. And I've just, you know, flat out told these people, you know, you really don't need me, because what you have for the type of business you're in is really, you know, very nice, or it's adequate. You know, I wouldn't go in and invest the money to change it up unless you just really want to, you know, throw money around to have money thrown around. And also a couple of the clients that are, you know, they're people that have come to me, they have asked for redesign. And it's like, well, you know, your company site, you know, you have mad marketing money behind this. You really need to go back to the people who developed this initially for you, where, you know, the big dollars lie, because there's a reason all of these things are in here exactly the way they're in here for you. It wasn't just that, oh, let's just throw a bunch of crap together and then we'll have it this done. You know, the companies that actually invest in their infrastructure and all of that, they know what they're doing. So if, you know, if I'm not going to be a good fit for you, I'll tell you, I'm not a good fit, because I'm really not a fit for everybody, but I'm a fit for a lot of folks. So again, shameless plug, if you'd like headshots, product shots, website relaunch, social media marketing, things like that, I would love to have a conversation with you and talk to you about that. I'm going to take a real quick break. We're going to hear from our friends at It Matters Radio for just a quick moment. And then we're going to come back and talk about what happened last night, which was so much fun. You won't even believe who I had a chance to talk with, because it will freak you out. So here's a little clip from our friends at It Matters Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Hey, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the Adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Well, why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be?
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
So that was fun. I always love our friends at It Matters Radio. They do a great show. I think they're doing it on Sundays now. They do a show once a week, and it's, you know, Ken and Monica. I think Monica's out of like St. Louis or something like that. And Ken is out of, I think, like Mesa, Arizona or Scottsdale. Maybe it's just Phoenix. We'll just say Phoenix. And they interview people in the music business. They interview authors. So if you got a book out there, folks, this is, you know, they're a good place to connect. And if you want a warm introduction, I'd be happy to do it. But it's called itmattersradio.com. And they do their show on a podcast, or not a podcast, but like a video chat thing, which is really weird if you are doing, you know, if you're used to doing maybe Skype or what's that other one that people do all the time now? It's the Apple one, FaceTime. If you were cool and you do FaceTime, maybe doing a show like that would be comfortable to you and you would go like, this is something that I can get my arms wrapped around. But I've done their show a couple of times. I did their Halloween show last year, I think, and then I did another show with them before. Of course, plugging the album, Blonde Jesus, available at GarrettMiller.com. And have such a great time because they really do invest in the show that they create by, you know, doing the research on their guests. And they're just motivated to do fun things. And of course, Monica has a cat that decides that, you know, he wants to monopolize the show a lot of the time. But, you know, that's a story for a different day. But It Matters Radio, go check them out if you'd like. So last night, one of the things that I love about people that I know. Thank you, Craig Campobasso. Also, shameless plug for Craig's book, Autobiography of an ET.com. Craig invited me to go see Mr. Ryan Murphy, Miss Sarah Paulson, and Ms. Marcia Clark from The People versus OJ. You know, it was that wildly popular miniseries or short series or whatever the, you know, the cool kids are calling it. But what Hollywood does around this time of the year is they hold these events for all of their, you know, shows they want to get Emmy. Well, they're Emmy nominated, I think, at this point. Now they just want the Emmy vote. And they hold these big screenings and they pick a, you know, a powerful episode or a powerful whatever and invite, you know, the voting members of the, you know, category. In this case, it was Emmys. And, you know, they bring you in and you watch the episode and you hang around with a lot of other people who are, you know, very important or think that they're very important. And at the end of that, then the stars of the, you know, show come out and they do a Q&A. And the Q&A is, you know, it's moderated by somebody that's, you know, of some note. And then oftentimes they will take audience questions, which is, you know, last night, really, really fun because I got a question to Ryan, Sarah, and Marcia. They, you know, so I will tell the story in public that, you know, when I was talking to Ryan, Sarah, and Marcia Clark, but the reality is they asked a question that I submitted. So Craig invites me to go to this thing and, you know, hang out and see how this all works. So we get to the Fox studio lot over off of Olympic and Avenue of the Stars. It's Avenue of the Americas, or I guess Avenue of the Americas is in New York City. Avenue of the Stars is in Hollywood. I guess that would make sense. So we get there, get parked, and they had told Craig, you know, you need to show up early because if you don't get here early, you're not going to get into the event because, you know, we expect it to be, you know, overcrowding because it's Ryan Murphy, you know, from American Horror Story, Nip Tuck, Glee, People versus OJ, and anything that gets a solid rating anywhere in Hollywood. Ryan, of course, is behind it. So we get there the you know, correct time, which I think is like 5:45. We get parked and then we're escorted down to this, you know, like I say, holding area. This holding area is complete with like three full bars, a buffet, you know, several buffet stations, which we're going to be, you know, stocked later with delicious food. And then all of these beautiful tables and high tops and things like that for people to, you know, hobnob around for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes before they're ready to, you know, take you into the theater. So we go and hang out and I see Tony Miros. He's you know, a casting person as well. And so we chat with him. I see Brian Nolan, who I met with the film Open earlier this year, the Bruce Hart, Leon Acord film. I mean, just tons of fun folks in there. Open is going to be out. I think we're having a, when is the screening here for this? Hold on. Dun, 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 dun. I've got it. It is September 24th is the screening for Open. You know, you really want to hear me thumb through the book, but, you know, I'm just looking for the things. Because if it's not in the book, it doesn't happen for me. So we got, you got a chance to, you know, chit-chat a little bit, catch up. And then they said, okay, everybody with an orange wristband. And we thought when we got there, because there's all these different colors of wristbands, we thought that the orange wristband people were going to be like the people in the nosebleed seats. Because they, you know, take you into one of these big, fancy theaters, and then you watch the program, et cetera. Well, they said, everybody with an orange wristband, line up over here. And we were the first people to go in. So the only thing that we can think of, because Craig has been an Emmy-nominated casting agent, director over the years, for Picket Fences, seasons 3 and 4, it may have been more, but that's the pictures that I use for his new promo on his website, CraigCampabasso.com. And so we're like, okay, let's go. So we went into the theater, got VIP seating, and I don't know, we're like the fifth row back because they had the first three rows reserved. I have a feeling for, you know, there were a few people in there, but there were not a lot of reserved people in the reserved seats. Well, they might have been reserved people, but the people in the seats were, I would have thought that would have been, you know, jam-packed. But the rest of the theater fills up. And then the guy who's in charge of FX comes out and does a nice little, you know, speech about the episode of The People versus OJ that we're going to see. And again, I didn't really, I'm just going to be honest, I didn't have any, you know, skin in the game whether I saw it or not. But it was an opportunity to hang out with Craig, go to an event, do some networking, and, you know, just do something that was kind of fun. And it's free. Free is a very good price. On my budget right now, free is an exceptional price. And so we get in the theater and watch this, and the guy comes out, talks about the episode, and it's the episode called Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Now, if you've seen The People versus OJ, you know which one we're talking about. It's, since I don't have a frame of reference for the other episodes, I don't know how those are framed. But this one focused on Marsha Clark, obviously. And we saw the episode, and afterwards, Marsha Clark comes out, Sarah Paulson comes out, and Ryan Murphy comes out. And so Ryan's going to be the moderator for the event. And with that comes just, you know, a round of applause. Everybody just can't believe it's Ryan Murphy, the Ryan Murphy. And so he's doing an exceptional job of being James Lipton. So if you've ever watched like the Actors Studio on A&E, you know, James Lipton always ends the interviews with, what's your favorite swear word? And so, you know, Sarah gave hers, which we won't say here on the air. And then Marsha gave one that was even more offensive and everybody got a big laugh. And then, you know, we went into the questions. So before all of this started, so while we're out mingling before going into the theater, this, I don't know if you call her an assistant or helper or staffer, is walking around saying, well, if anybody would like to ask members of the panel a question, you know, write it down here. And then maybe your question will be asked. And so I thought, you know, I need to just be a smartass because that's all I want to do. I want to say, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? But, you know, you don't say that. So I figured, you know, what could I say that would be, you know, kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, shall we say? And so I wrote down on the card, which was your favorite wig to wear? The question was for Sarah or Ryan. You never know. You know, I put a big smiley face on it, put my name on it, and I turned it in. And so when I gave it back to that lady, she got a huge kick out of it. And I said, oh, they're going to ask my question. I know it. So not knowing what the episode was, the episode featured, of course, Marsha Clark with her big, you know, Marsha Clark hair from when the trial first started. And then you'll remember there was such an uproar over what she was wearing during the trial and what her hair looked like and how unstyled she was and this and that and the other thing. And so, you know, I guess the DA's office paid to have her go for like a little image makeover. And so the funny part of this is when she goes for her makeover, the stylist says, oh, we just want to, you know, turn Marsha into the best version of Marsha, and it's going to be fantastic and you're going to love it. And he goes, I've only done this one other time for Farrah. And so you see Marsha going, Farrah, you know, thinking they're going to turn her into Farrah Fawcett. Well, you know, she had big, long, ringy curl hair at the beginning of the show. And after her makeover, she looked like, because it says that the line in the show, so I'm not, you know, taking it out of context. It says that, you know, she looked like Rick James because she had Rick James hair afterwards. So they basically just gave her a haircut. And so, of course, in the movie, you know, she thinks, you know, boy, I look really great and everybody's going to love my new do. And she goes in just with her head held high and then realizes that, you know, everybody's making fun of her yet again. So I didn't know that, of course, ahead of time. And so asking which wig did you like to wear? Of course, these people knew it before, you know, the thing happened. So they put my question up. And so they said, okay. And, you know, so Garrett wants to know. And so everybody around me is like, oh, my God, that's you. Totally fun. So I'm officially going to say that, you know, Ryan, Marcia, and Sarah and I have talked about the wigs that, you know, Sarah wore and which one was her favorite. Now, it turns out she had about five different wigs that she wore throughout the course of the filming because, of course, she had different hairstyles than Marcia Clark did during the trial because it went on forever. And so, you know, Sarah would talk about her favorite wig, and she had names for the wigs and why she named them the way that she named them. And, but her favorite wig was the Rick James wig. Now that's not what she calls it, but that's how I remember it from last night to tell the story today is that, Sarah liked that wig best out of the five wigs that she wore during the course of the, filming. So all fun, right? So we get Q&A wrapped up and they said, okay, everybody, you know, it's time for, the food and drink. You know, so go back out to where you were before and enjoy yourselves. So we go out there. And again, you know, before when we're just kind of hanging around, we knew that it was going to be fancy. And Craig had said even, wow, you know, they've gone all out here because usually you'll get, you know, this or that, but you won't get it all of this. This is crazy. So we go out and have the, you know, three or four full bars. And of course, I don't drink. So I think, you know, and so I knew that even if I don't drink, though, I'm going down a bad path because I had two Diet Cokes. And, you know, Diet Coke is terrible for you. But I had two Diet Cokes. Now, they also had all of these food buffets set up. And so all of the hungry little piggies, including myself, got in line for food. Now, keeping in mind that before the, you know, the big event, you know, Craig and I went and got a bite to eat, too. So technically, I did not need to eat a bite last night at all. And yet here I did, you know, I did. I ate a lot. So everybody lines up and you go around and they have some, you know, vegetarian options like a mushroom risotto thing. They've got some grape leaves and then you turn the corner and you have some like chips and salsa and some hummus. The hummus was terrible. That was the only thing that was bad because everything else was great. And then they've got some deep fried macaroni and cheese. It was divine. And then they had, you know, a cheese platter and a bunch of other stuff. So I grabbed a little sample of everything, came down and, you know, brought it back because Craig was holding down the table and ended up having, you know, just, you know, we picked out what we liked, ate it. And then Craig was like, go back and get some more and get some more of that blue cheese. So there's this, you know, I don't know, 700 pound wedge of blue cheese on one of the tables. So I go and click off about 100 pounds of it and I take it back. And I said, okay, here's the blue cheese and, you know, here's some olives. Let's, you know, eat up. Because again, needed that food at 9 o'clock at night. Sure didn't. And Craig goes, I'm not eating all that cheese. You've got to be kidding. I said, you wanted me to get some blue cheese. He says, well, I'm not eating all of that. You're going to eat that. So I pretty much ate all of the blue cheese and the olives. And then we had these, we had little cake pops. I've never had a cake pop ever. There was a chocolate cake pop and a vanilla cake pop. The chocolate cake pop was actually spectacular. And then, and I think Craig said there's like 400 calories per cake pop. And I, if that's the case, then I think I ate about 48,000 calories last night. Totally didn't need it, but it was delicious. The vanilla cake pop, not quite as delicious. And I like a, you know, vanilla cake and not quite as delicious. I was shocked, but that was because the chocolate cake pop was so out of this world spectacular. Then they had, now I've got to do this. So the next time I make MMC's magical movie cookies, you know, those, you can go watch my video on YouTube and check that out. They have got it dialed down. I have never thought of this. I don't know why I've never thought of this, but this is what I'm going to do. Taking your, you know, cookies, like I've shown you how to do on YouTube, how to make my cookies. But then you take like an Oreo cookie, or a Reese's peanut butter cup, or a Snickers, you know, the bite size, you know, the minis. Not, well, you could probably do the full bar if you wanted to. Oh my God, that'd be great. So you have, it's kind of like a stuffed meatball or a cordon bleu or anything like that, except this is with a cookie. So they have the chocolate chip cookie and then with a Reese's peanut butter cup or a Snickers or an Oreo or whatever baked in on the inside. Now, how spectacularly decadent and delicious is a chocolate chip cookie that is really a good chocolate chip cookie and not like, eh, you know, because you're at an A-list event last night with all of this delicious food. And then you get a chocolate chip cookie that is spectacular in its own right. It's not a magical movie cookie, of course. Keep that in mind. But it is a good cookie. And then you have the added bonus of having a Reese's peanut butter cup or a Snickers or a Oreo cookie on the inside as a treat. Because you could tell that there was something inside the cookies because, you know, it had like this pregnant belly on it. So you're like, something's on the inside. It's either raw dough that didn't get cooked. And of course, that would never be served nor tolerated. Or it is going to be, you know, something else. And so, you know, we'd go through and break out the cookies. And if you, of course, open up the cookie, then it's like, well, you got to eat it. And the cookies, which I loved, were about the size of a magical movie cookie. So they were big. They were about the size of a small dinner plate or a nice size saucer. Let's just say that. So the desserts were fantastic. But the highlight of everything last night from a food standpoint was the grilled teriyaki shrimp. You know, we're talking like jumbo shrimp, big shrimp that they grilled and marinated in teriyaki. And then they went around and kept serving it. So not only did we have the food that was, you know, the buffet food, which was great, and the dessert food, which was great. But then we had people walking around with platters of food from, the grilled shrimp. We had lamb chops. I've never had lamb, didn't want to try it. And it was funny because the waiters were really trying to push the lamb chops because nobody was eating them. The shrimp would come around. And again, I ate 48,000 calories last night. And every time they'd come around with a shrimp tray, I was like, oh yes, we'll take another one. They were incredibly good, but that was, you know, that's at a done event. You know, it's just one of those things that happens and it's just crazy. So that was last night. So a big thanks to my friend, Craig Campobasso. Go check out his website, Autobiographies of an ET. He has a trilogy out. So let me talk about that for just a real quick second, you know, shameless plug, go buy his books. He will love that, by the way. He wrote a science fiction book called I Am Tehran, Tehyron. And he wrote that, I think it came out in November. Here it is. It came out 11/11/11. So it came out 5 years ago. And then he decided to write book two. And then he decided to write book three. So book one and two. And see, when I met Craig, I didn't know he was an author. I just thought he was just like this casting agent guy. So he gave me a copy of his book one and says, read it. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So I read the book and it was great. And what I loved about the book, it's even though it's a science fiction book, and so, you know, you get past all the science fiction names and you get past the science fiction aspect of it, and it's written like a nighttime soap opera. You know, Dallas, Dynasty, Falcon Crest, Knots Landing, the Colbys, even, you know. And at the end of book one, the last word or the last sentence in the last paragraph of book one, you're just reading along because you're so engrossed in the whole thing, and then boom, the book is over. And I screamed out. I said, no. Well, by that time, I knew that book two was out. So I went and got book two downloaded. And I started reading that and going like, oh, thank God I got book two. And so, you know, book one, you know, you understand the characters. Book two is the struggle. And then book three, which we'll talk about in a second, ends up, you know, just you just kind of, you know, kind of just get into the enjoyment of it. So book two has all the struggle and strife and things are going on. And the last paragraph, the last sentence, and the last word of book two, because I thought I had all these extra pages. So I was just going through the book, getting every page read, because the book reads so quickly. And I get to the last, you know, page, last paragraph, last word, and then I turn it. And then we have a glossary of terms, which I didn't even realize because he provides all these things. So you have a reference point. So if you come across the name or something and you don't know what it is, it's got like, kind of like a dictionary in the back. So you can go check it out. I forgot about that. And so that's like 20 pages right there. And so I thought I had all these extra 20 pages to read. I didn't. So I got to the end of book two and I'm like, no, because book two ends in such a way that you're like, you can't end it now. I need to know what happens. Just like it used to be on the old, Dynasty, Knots Landing, Dallas, Falcon Crest, all those shows, you know, when the season finale would come and, you know, like JR would get shot. And then you spend 3 months going, who shot JR? And you have all the ideas and all the characters. And well, that's how Craig writes. I think it's also because he's a screenwriter. So he's used to creating drama and intrigue and interesting characters and situations. So I read, you know, book two. And so all of this has happened in the last few months. So he's been saying, well, you know, I've got book three. It's getting ready to come out. Well, it finally came out. And so last, and I'm grabbing it off of my desk here. So last week, 2 weeks ago, well, it's whenever I sat down with Craig to talk about his web stuff. He goes, here you go. Because I've been giving him a hard time. I said, you know, I want the first book and I want it autographed first before anybody else gets a copy. I got the first book and I got the first autographed copy. So this is like a true collector's item. But book three is called Taran's Dossier. And in this one, oh, I will tell you, it's a page turner. In, you know, I'm up to, I don't know, what is it, chapter 11 right now. And I read that in probably an hour and a half. And I had to physically put the book down and say, I need to let the book rest. Because if I did not do that, A, I would have stayed up the entire night to read the book from beginning to end. And B, I would have been so mad at myself for reading the book in one sitting because now the book series is over. Well, you know, it's a trilogy. At the end of book three, the book has to end. And so that is what I'm working on right now from a reading standpoint is Taran's Dossier. And so if you like science fiction books and are intrigued by good writing that keeps the page turning, you really should check it out. Now, here's something else that's interesting that I think not a lot of authors take advantage of. But again, he spent a ton of money on this. I don't know how much money he spent. I don't need to know. All I know is that he made the capital investment of having artwork done of all of his characters. So, you know, he, as an author, you know, you have an idea of what your characters might look like. And then you kind of, you know, you try to write that for your readers and you let the readers kind of figure out what, you know, what they look like in their imaginations. Well, Craig was so passionate about what was happening with his characters in book one. He met this graphic artist and they got to talking and the next thing you know, they had like character drawings of, you know, the main characters at least. And as technology has changed, meaning gotten better and improved and done all these fantastic things over the last 5 and 6 years, he had all of the major characters redrawn from the same graphic designer that helped him on book one and book two. The pictures are just stunning. And so, you know, of course it's a little science fiction-y. You know, they got their spacesuits on, things like that. But the pictures have been drawn with such detail, you know, from either, you know, strands of hair to the eye color to you name it. And just is spectacular. So if you'd like a little art companion piece. Again, you can go to autobiographiesofanet.com. There's a little bit of a slideshow, but you know, at the beginning of the webpage, one of the things I thought would be fun, since his books read like the intro to like Dallas and Dynasty and Knots Landing and Falcon Crest, was to create an intro that was similar to that. So without any intro music, the site kind of has an intro to all of the characters that you're going to read about in the series. So you get a picture, you know, picture with their name right at the very beginning. Super, super cool. And so that's what Craig did. So the artwork on there really helps paint a picture of who these people are. So even though he's great at describing who they are, you've got $1 million, you know, rendering of the artists themselves. And it is quite impressive to see for sure. Now, I'm going to take another little quick commercial break, come back, and we will talk more. This is going to be a couple of shameless plugs in here for New Hampshire Fun, our friends at Rainbow Brew, and then, you know, of course, my album, Blonde Jesus. You can buy it today at GarrettMiller.com. And, you know, it's a good thing to do, people. Not only will you have fun music, you'll also be supporting the cause. We'll be right back.
The Granite State is home to three powerful kingdoms. each believing the throne of family fun to be their destiny. Ruled by dragons, each kingdom...
No dragons.
You're sure?
Yeah. Positive. This summer, three exciting adventurous destinations are vying for the Family Fun Crown. Whale's Tale, Alpine Adventures, and the new Candia Springs Adventure Park. Spend the day at Whale's Tale, New England's favorite water park, surrounded by the spectacular White Mountains, or over 300 acres of thrills at Alpine Adventures, New England's largest and most award-winning zip line and off-road adventure destination. But if you want to experience zip lines, water park fun, and an epic new aerial challenge all in one location, check out the brand new Candia Springs Adventure Park. Just 10 minutes from Manchester and a totally unique family adventure. Visit nh-fun.com. That's nh-fun.com.
Summer is upon us. Fun is coming.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
So everybody who's bought the album already, thank you very much. If you have not downloaded your copy of Blonde Jesus, please do it. I'm going to tell you a little secret. We love Amazon. We love iTunes. We love all of those platforms that you can sell your wares on. However, they take a friggin' huge cut of whatever. So for example, if you go by my song Unlike You, which is currently number one on numberonemusic.com, and spend the 99 cents on it. Number one, thank you. But out of that 99 cents, I have to wait like 100 years, and then I think I get around 50 cents of that 99 cents by the time all of their fees and things are taken out of it. So I might get 50 cents, not even enough to buy a cup of coffee. And your intent was so beautiful and wonderful to go and support the cause. But if you go to my website, GarrettMiller.com, and click the music tab, you can buy all of my music. You buy it song at a time if you want, but you can also buy the entire thing directly from me. And here's what happens, folks. This is great. Thank you, Wix.com, for figuring this out, because I love you. I get the money. I get all of it. And then, you know, if you spend $9.99 on that album, I get $9.99. And you know what I get to do with that? I get to buy food, or I get to pay rent, or I get to invest in a music video or write new music that I can go into the studio and record later this year or next year. And for, you know, authors and people who are, you know, creative, I'm going to bring on a special guest in just a moment. He's the king of creativity. So, you know, we'll talk about this. But for all of these independent people out there, you know, you think that, oh, you know, you got a number one song, you must be raking in the bucks. Airplay doesn't equal payday, folks. It's wonderful that songs are number one, but the things that, you know, drive it are people actually go and spend the money on it. So it's great to be number one because it's a, you know, it's a talking point. I can say I've got a number one song here or there. If you're an author with a number one book on whatever, that is usually because somebody's like, you know, bought it and paid for it. Airplay radio spins don't equate, you know, dollars to you. And if people tell you differently, you know, I'm telling you, it just isn't true. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. When I released the remix of Sweat and Testify on SoundCloud, I didn't even tell anybody, by the way. So this is how great it just, you know, virally took off. In the first week, it did something like 300,000 spins or, you know, plays or streams or, you know, I guess whatever, I guess it's called a stream. For 300,000. So you would think, oh my gosh, you just must be raking the bucks with, you know, 300,000 streams on SoundCloud. And that would be just so fantastic. You know, number one, I still haven't seen any money from it. And two, for every time there's a stream on one of these services like SoundCloud, here's what you get. if you're on a good playlist, and you have to be on a playlist. If you're not on a playlist, forget it. If you're not a Justin Bieber or a Justin Timberlake or a Taylor Swift or one of these people, it's even worse. Per spin. So you can do the math on this really quick. You get 0.00145 cents per spin. Now you can do the math really quickly there and know that, oh, okay, so I get 1,000 spins. I'm going to be rich. I don't even think you get a dollar at that point. You're talking like a dime. And so you need legitimately millions of airplays and, I'll call it a spin. You need millions of spins on SoundCloud for you to make any money whatsoever. And even then, it's not millions of dollars. So you wonder why Taylor Swift decided to pull all of her music off of SoundCloud ages ago. It's because they pay so crappy. Spotify is not much different, but Spotify is, they have different playlists and different, ways they, put algorithms on things to get things played. Sweat and Testify did, first week on that, and I haven't gone back in to check it recently, but they did 50,000 on the remix. And that's fantastic for an independent person like myself. But again, real money is made after you are doing millions, not 50,000, not 300,000. Grateful for everybody who listened, but that's just the reality. So when you go and buy my music at GarrettMiller.com and spend that 10 bucks, actually get the money, and it's impactful and it makes a difference to me. So if you're listening to an independent artist or an independent author, my point is get the money to them directly because they need the money. They've already put in their creative time and energies and effort. They need to work on their next project. They need to do all kinds of things that they can't do unless they have the support of you, the listener, the fan, the family member, their Aunt Martha, whatever the case may be. Anyway, I digress. We are going to bring on a special guest now. So I think Larry might be MIA for the morning, which is okay because we've got a very talented person that's going to be popping on the line with us right now, Mr. Jeff Michaels. Jeff, how are you today, my friend?
Good morning, Mr. G. How are you?
I'm great.
How's the Garrett Miller Empire this morning?
The GME is doing great today. I've had a cup and a half of coffee. The mornings, I switch after about 10 or 11 to my Ladara certified wellness grade tea because that's my thing. But in the morning, I do have a huge mug of coffee and love it because it's usually what I do right before I do my cardio. So anyhow, what's going on in your world? You've got a ton of cool things that are happening.
Well, and before we get too far into that, I just wanted to kind of affirm what you were saying. I've been listening to you talking about how we get paid as creative individuals, and I mean that's everybody. That's painters, that's artists, that's songwriters, screenwriters. I'm an author, and one of the things that I say in sessions with people, public sessions, I do classes and lead groups and things like that. There are more people making money off of writers than there are writers making money. And so everybody's got this dream that they're going to suddenly just hack out a book and put it on Kindle and it's going to make a million and it's going to be a limo driven by Stephen King. And folks, there are no limos.
Right.
Unless you call the limo and give them your credit card, there are no limos.
Yeah.
So, but... what I encourage people to do, though, is, look, still do it. Go for it. Go for live your dream. Be creative. This is a creative universe that we live in, and the proof is that it's here. And it continues to create. The source energy of everything is creative. Dogs are still puppying, and cats are still kittening, and apples, trees are still appling, And so we see it all around us. And if you're not in the mode of creativity in your life, you're probably not happy. You're probably not at your core a happy person. And the creativity doesn't mean art necessarily. Creativity can be building a house. Like you and I had a conversation with a fellow right here in town named Tony.
Yeah.
And Tony's a builder. And he builds these amazing houses, very thoughtful, thought-provoking things. And this is what he loves to do. Now, he's a tradesman. He's a carpenter. He carries around a hammer, a bag of nails, but he loves doing what he does, and he's excellent at it. So you can be a very creative person and be in, say, the banking business or something, if that's your form of creativity. Do what makes you happy in this regard. And, you know, the old Field of Dreams thing, if you build it, they will come. Not necessarily. You got to get out and advertise it. So I appreciate what you're doing here with the shameless plugging, because people got to know. People got to understand that that it's all out there, and the best way to support people that you like is to buy their stuff.
Buy their stuff. I agree. Yeah. Well, and okay, so now it's the Jeff Michaels shameless plug moment for the day, since you're here on the line with me. If you are, if you like metaphysical or you like young adult fantasy books, Jeff has a, what is it? You've got a, like 7,000 books that you've written. How many books do you have out there now?
Well, you know, in terms of metaphysical books, we've got 6.
Okay.
And the latest one is on the lively topic of dying.
And actually, okay, you know, you kind of giggle at that, but I will tell you, you've written, because death is part of life, surprisingly, you know, and it's just different, you know, people shuffle off this mortal coil, as Suzanne Wong always likes to say.
It's a thing we all do, and we never talk about it.
And we never and you've written a great book. What's the title of that book?
It's called Becomes Us All, and cover just kind of from a spiritual standpoint, what is death, what is dying, what is rebirth, is there such a thing as reincarnation, is there such a thing as heaven, what is the process of passing away, how do you prepare yourself for it, consciousness about these things. So it's a topic that a lot of people have trouble talking about, but now that the baby boomers are aging, you know, we're all starting to say, what is going on? Why weren't we ever taught any of these things? So it's not just some nebulous, I hope there's something afterwards. I'm not promoting an idea of what happens after you pass away. My personal feeling is that there is more, because energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed. And everything's energy. So what happens to us afterwards? I'm not giving an answer, but I'd like everybody to think about it, and not just to repeat the things that they were taught by whatever religion their parents were. Think about it. Think what goes on as you get close to death, as you begin to end this life on the planet Earth. It's a great planet. Have fun while you're here. But what's the process? What's going to be your final moments, your final breaths? Is it going to be a worthy life? Is it going to be a creative life? And in death, can you still be creative? And I think the answer to that is yes.
So as much, if you're listening out there today and are going like, I can't believe a book on death is exciting or interesting or something I would ever want to read, just take a leap of faith, folks. I would not talk about the book, except that I read the book and I was like, oh my gosh, where's this been forever? This is fantastic. So if you get a chance to read, again, Becomes Us All.
Becomes Us All. I think you
it's
got
some on
your,
yeah.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. So look up author Jeffrey Michaels and you will find his books. You know, a big
actually,
fan of
Jared, I write under two different names. One is Jeffrey J. Michaels, and that's the fiction. And then the metaphysical work is Jeff Michaels. So,
okay.
It's a little confusing, and I probably should have gone with Thomas Jefferson, John Wayne, or something like that. Something
that would be fun. It's whatever works for you, Jeff. I just want your units to sell on Amazon. So, you know,
to sell on Amazon as well.
Yeah. So go out and buy 10 copies, Becomes Us All. But you'll find other books like, A Day at the Beach. There's a collection of short stories there that are fun. And I go back and I always harp on that when I talk to Jeff, because out of all the books that he's written, that's the book that I go back to consistently, probably about once a year. And it'll be like sitting on my bookshelf and I'll go, oh, that's right. I need to go pick that up again. And I reread the stories, and it sounds silly to say, but if you ask me a question, I'll tell you the truth. And now I've had a cup of coffee, so I can't shut up, but I read it and I have stories that I've read, a dozen times before, but I have tears coming down my eyes because the stories just hit me hard again. I have stories that I just laugh out loud for. I have stories that are just engaging. So, A Day at the Beach is there, Becomes Us All. Jeff has a great style for how he chooses to put words on a page, and his beautiful wife Jill is a great editor, so they make a great tag team here, and it's a matter of just picking the books up and diving in wherever you think you want to. So there's Toss's Path, that's his young adult fantasy book that's out, that's done very, very well. You're in the middle of writing books 2 and 3. How are those coming along?
Those are coming along. And,
okay.
That's always a tough question to ask an author in process, because as you write a book, you encounter moments where you have to ask questions, and you go, oh, wait a minute, well, what about this? And so then you got to pause and think. But I try not to think too much in the process, because that gets in the way of the muse. The muse doesn't want logic. The muse just wants the story to be told. So first drafting is fun and easy sometimes when you're in the flow, but sometimes you stop and you go, that doesn't make any sense.
No. Is it appropriate if we talk a little bit about the new thing that you're working on?
That might be our Thursday afternoon
and Friday morning thing that we're going to go work on?
The Tai Chi?
Yes.
Yes. That's absolutely appropriate. We can talk about that.
Okay. So what's going on with Tai Chi in your life?
Look, let me go backwards a little bit, because back in the last century, the 20th century, what we had was Jeff as a construction worker and trying to be limber and trying to be healthy and things like that didn't always come into play in my life, until one day when I had a pretty nasty accident. A scaffolding collapsed underneath me, and I fell about 40 feet. Fortunately, I fell into the scaffolding and just pinballed down, because a 40-foot fall would be fatal otherwise. But I was laid up for about a year. And while I was laid up, I would watch videos of people doing exercises. And one of the things that I really loved was a Tai Chi instructor, David Dorian Ross. Well, I was living in the Midwest at the time, and then it turns out that when we moved to Huntington Beach, guess who else was in town? David Dorian Ross. So I've been a student of his for a long time. I've been a practitioner of Tai Chi. Back in the Midwest, I was actually an instructor. And we decided to open up that avenue again. So we're going to be doing Tai Chi instruction here in Orange County. And it's already, we don't have any classes specifically scheduled, but we're suddenly having branch meetings with other specific locations. So this is getting to be pretty exciting. But we're going to do the Tai Chi stuff. Tai Chi got me out of my hospital bed and got me moving, returned my balance to me, returned my coordination, returned my movement, my flow. I think Tai Chi is just an amazing, it's not really even an exercise. It's this movement. It's just this beautiful movement. And I combine Tai Chi and Qigong movements, and you don't have to learn a form. You just have to learn some basic movements, and then you apply them to your own specific life. And things start to flow for people. Moving physically, you get yourself moving. If you find your physical balance, you're going to start to find your emotional, your mental, and your spiritual balance as well.
And with that, folks, guess what? I've rambled on for the entire hour. Grateful to have Jeff Michaels call in. Larry, I know you're out there somewhere, so hope things are okay for you this morning. We'll get you back on another day. And speaking of that, Saturday, if you are in Southern California, come join everybody at SCWA, Southern California Writers Association. We're going to have guest speaker Sherry Fink. She's been a guest on this show before. Her best-selling book is called Cake in Bed, best-selling novel, both in hardcover and softcover. You can come get a picture with Sherry, have a great networking experience with like-minded writers who love hanging out and telling their stories. And it's a Claim Jumper. How can you go wrong at that? So if you need more information, contact me. There's a link right here on the show page. I encourage you to hang out this Saturday. It starts at like around 10 in the morning. There's a little networking before. You get the guest speaker. Sherry talks a little bit. Everybody eats, follow up. And you're out of there by like 1:30, something like that. So have a great day, everybody. We will see you live tomorrow morning with psychic Rebecca Fisk. Call in at 7:45. Phone lines open up then. And have a terrific day. Don't drive distracted.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.